This morning, Brother Philip Thomas will preach the concluding part of his message that he has called the Flood of Ignorance. If there's any doubt that you have about the flood of Noah's day, listen very carefully to this message, Brother Thomas.
So let's assume your cat dies. And it lays out in the road. How long does it take to become a fossil? Any guess? A year? 10 years? 100 years? A million years? Think in your mind, guess an answer. Everybody's wrong. It's a trick question. It doesn't become a fossil. Right? There's a lot of variables that go into that. Predators, wind, radiation, storms, and erosion, all of those things. If your cat lays out in the middle of the road, it's not going to become a fossil. Unless it gets buried shortly thereafter, before it has a chance to be picked by scavengers or to fall victim to one of the variables that are around, such as erosion and things like that. So you either have to have something like that that's tangible, or you're left to make an assumption that, well, I'll go tomorrow and it'll still look the same, and I'll go the next day and it'll still look the same. And, you know, every great once in a while, some dust or some sand will fly over, but I guess if everything never changes and everything always stays the same as it is today in a couple of million years, it'll become a fossil. That to me sounds just as unrealistic as just about anything that's out there. And yet, I'm the one that's told that I'm not realistic, because I believe that fossils are a testament to the flood. I asked Cece on the way here today. I said, Cece, what's it take to make a fossil? She says, you got to have a lot of water. And it has to be buried. And you know, my 9-year-old knows more real science than a lot of what I learned in my school days. And she doesn't know this yet, and I hate to break it to her in a setting like this, but as she grows, if she continues to hold to those beliefs, she's probably going to get made fun of. And she's probably going to be ridiculed and laughed at. But I want you to know you're right on the money. You know what? God's word is true. Okay? And it's something that we can see. And it's evidenced each day in our lives. And I can just give simple illustrations like that to show you that God's word is true. It is believable. And again, assumptions are made, and it's not being made by us. It's an assumption to say that things never change, that there are no variables that could change. It's an assumption to say, well, that it takes millions of years because I saw it in a lab, I watched it in a lab for a month, and therefore I'm going to date it backwards from that. So again, the flood becomes a proving ground of understanding or ignorance. You know, oftentimes when you ask people to show evidence for why they believe in evolution, they'll give you one of those things which are assumptions. Well, it looks like this would happen if these things didn't change. I trust God's word. I trust God's word because of the evidence that I see to it to be true. Because it has been evidenced. Because it has been marked as historically accurate. Because the things that it does say are true. It has revealed the true character, not just of man, but of the universe and principles of the way that things work. You know, there's a lot of things that I don't understand and I don't know. And I can't answer every question in the scientific arena. But I have a lot of questions that they can't answer either. Okay? Whenever somebody wants to ask you about fossils and you don't feel secure asking, you know, answering questions about fossils, then you just ask them why there aren't any transitional fossils. If you don't know what a transitional fossil is, that's the idea that we came from monkeys, right? We've all obviously started way back before that in the slime of the, you know, of the pond, but our nearest relative are monkeys, and we evolved from them. Now, we have fossils of monkeys, and we have fossils of humans. Why don't we have fossils of anything in between? You might have heard it called the whole missing link idea. You know why there's no fossils? Okay. Now, if you have one on each side, you would think that you would have, that's what we call the transitional fossil. If this process took millions and millions of years to us from us to get to this, and there's no record in between of any of that process, come on now. Now, who's the one that's believing things, and who's the one that's really opposed to science? I'm not really the one that's foolish here. I'm not really the one that's ignorant here. The Bible says, for this they willingly are ignorant of. You know, there's all kinds of questions that you can ask them. Ask them why they find fish fossils on the tops of mountains. You know, ask them why they find the fossils of saltwater animals in freshwater lakes. You know, there's all kinds of questions that we could ask them that nobody else seems to have the answer for. And yet we're the ones that appear stupid. But it's not. It's not true. Without flood, you make faulty assumptions about God. I asked her on the way here, I said, Cece, what does the flood teach us? And Cece said, the flood tells us that men were wicked and didn't listen to God, and God punished them, and God flooded the earth. Turn to Luke chapter 17. Because men don't understand the flood, they don't understand some of the things about God that the flood teaches us. Luke 17, verse 27 says, they did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Matthew chapter 24, verse number 39 says, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so also shall the coming of the Son of Man be. You see, without the flood, you might be tempted to make faulty assumptions about God. Well, I don't believe that God would judge people. I don't believe that God would send people to hell. I don't believe that God does take sin that seriously. I don't believe that things are such a big deal that as you religious zealots really feel. And Jesus Christ used the flood as an example of God's judgment. Not just of what was past, but of what was coming. You know, the flood teaches an important lesson in theology. The flood teaches you that sin brings judgment. The flood teaches you that when judgment falls, there's only one safe place to be. You learn all those lessons, not just in the New Testament and in the Gospel. You learn those lessons in the very first book of the Bible. That sin's a big deal. That God takes it seriously. That judgment does come to sinners, and that when judgment comes, you only have one safe place to be. In the ark, or as it pictured the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the flood is an event where God intervened in history. So you can go back, and maybe for the last couple hundred years, you can say, man, things, you know, basically look like they remain the same. You know, levels in radiation have a little bit of variance. Levels in erosion have a little bit of variance, and levels in some of these other variables. So yeah, okay, I buy that. And then you hit this wall about 4,000 years ago, or however long ago it was when the flood hit, and that just totally destroys any of those things. And now all of the things that you're assuming today, you know, crash into that wall, and you have to decide, you have to make up your mind whether you're going to, whether you're just going to keep and just assume, no, I'm not going to believe that. I'm just going to keep assuming that all of these things continued on this path all the way back, millions and millions and millions of years, and follow that blindly. Or you can look at the evidence that has come forth since then and see, you know what, this seems to bear the mark of a catastrophe. It would be an assumption on my part to assume anything other than what has been told happened and what there's actual evidence that happened. So, you know, sometimes we're told, and again, I use that kind of language, but sometimes we're told that, like, when we believe the Bible, we're just kind of out there shot in the dark, you know, hoping that that's true as opposed to what, you know, real investigation has taught us. That's not even accurate. That's not even close to being accurate. The ones who look in the past blindly with blinded eyes are the guys who look back at a worldwide catastrophe and say, yeah, that's a reasonable explanation, but I'm just going to assume without really taking that into account, that things never change and things were always the same. Who's really the ones blindly looking into the past? It's really not us. You know, if you have God's Word, and if you're looking in your Bible and you read the accounts that are in Genesis, Exodus, on through the Old Testament, the accounts that are given to us in the New Testament, you may be tempted to say and think what other people have said and think, that the Bible's not a science book. And you might be right. It wasn't written to be a science book. Okay, I buy it. I'll give it to you. But if it gives the historical account of what happened, and then all the things that happen after that line up, maybe you should give it a little more thought and a little more veracity than you had thought before. Was there a worldwide flood? Yeah. I'm convinced that there was. And I look at things out here in this world and I see the evidence of it. Now someone else looks at the same piece of evidence. They look at the same canyon. They look at the same fossil. And when they look back into the past, they're looking back making an assumption and hoping and assuming that somewhere along the way, everything that they think led up to this. Which one's really blind faith and really which one's substantial? I think you could see that God's Word is believable and is true. It's a quandary sometimes and it's hard. Listen, I find that there is so much out there. There are so many attacks. There are so many different angles that people take at God's Word. And when it comes to the whole creation, evolution, flood, dinosaurs, fossils, geology, and the list goes on and on. The longer the list gets, the more inadequate that I feel. And I sometimes feel that then, you know, if I were to chime into the conversation, I'm going to feel stupid or I'm going to look stupid and I'm not going to know the right things to say. When the more that I look at it and the more that I truly just try to step back and take a thought, I'm not any more blindly looking into the past than anybody else is. You know what? And in fact, if anything, we have an account from people that saw it. We have an account from people that saw that and passed it down and passed it down. And it became God's Word. It became mythology in some other cultures and became stories of grandeur in other cultures as well. Trust God's Word. If you feel unable and inadequate, I don't know what the cure always for that is. But please don't let it shake your confidence and your trust in God's Word. You don't have to be the world's best debater or be able to explain everything perfectly to have confidence in God's Word and know that your faith is not subjective but based on an objective revelation. Okay? If you ever feel weak, You join the crew, because we all feel that way. And there are issues out there that are far above all of our heads that we're not always able to answer. I hope you know that you're not blindly looking into the past as others are. You have a firm foundation upon which to stand. You have a truth of God's Word to stand with you, all right? That's it for tonight.
Thank you, Brother Philip, for preaching about the flood of ignorance. I'm thankful that God has given us faith with which to believe His own precious promises. If you're lacking anything at all, just trust the Lord and rely upon His Word and trust the promises that He's given to you. God will always bless. He will always answer any difficulty that you have. Just trust the Lord and rely upon Him. God is well able to bless. I see that our time has gone away from us again today. We invite you to come to services at the Independence Baptist Church. Thank you now for listening.